Blog Talk Radio. On the whole, crooked cross, standing tall, sitting, the Master, Lord Jesus, the expression of the Father's love. He was wonderful, present, he was born in the sizes of by his stripes we were healed. In Calvary was that saying this. Calvary, Calvary was that saying this. Calvary.
Praise the Lord. We're able to be here today. Father, we thank you for this new day that you have granted us, a day that we have never seen before and a day that we surely will never, ever see again. We bless you and praise you and bow down before you this morning that you have kept us through the night and brought us into this new day. Oh God, there were many that were here on yesterday, on last night, but they're not here this morning. But we are still here in the land of the living. And it's reason enough for us to praise you and glorify your name, to exalt you, and more sure just to know that we are saved and that we are washed in the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. Blog Talk really has been down for a few days because the people had some kind of problem with their system, satellite system. They were working on it, haven't been able to post the program from Saturday. So we weren't able to come on and couldn't get in, you know, wouldn't pick up. So we just let it stay down. I tried this morning. I had a program up for yesterday. It wouldn't come on. So we tried this morning. We were able to get in. So I guess they have it fixed. So now I have to send them an email and see if they're going to give me some type of a refund for the times that I've been down. But Father, we just ask that you allow us to deliver this message on today. And tomorrow morning I have to go. I'm having a colonoscopy tomorrow, so we might come on in the afternoon. Depends on how long or if they have a backup down there. I have to go early in the morning, so hopefully I'll be here to get the program up. So we want to talk to you today, Lord. Bless this word. We know your word is blessed, and we thank you for your word, giving us your word, that we can be ambassadors, carry your word. This morning, I want to talk to you about the subject matter, the enemy is on our tracks. The enemy is on our tracks. I was looking at some things last night, and they say that the FBI have just found a whole lot of papers, documents, of how the administration has planned to bring down Christianity, I said, wow. As I was watching that and reading that on the system, I said, wow, the Bible is truly, truly unfolding itself before the world that can see and the world that can hear. Because many people can eyes, but they can't see, they have ears and can't hear. And matter of fact, the stuff is happening before them and they're still seeing it's not happening. It's not true. But here in this text, let's go to Exodus chapter 15. Exodus, you know the whole story with Israel. They came out of Egypt, and then they got so messed up with Aaron and Moses and Joshua that they wanted to go back to Egypt. And this is the same way that as I look and I watch a lot of our people, how our people are, they come out of slavery and they still want to go back into slavery. And even they see what the man is doing to them, they still want to go back into slavery. A lot of our people, even some Christian folk, still want to go back into slavery. Here in this Exodus, coming out in New Living Translation, King James Version, whatever, Moses and the people of Israel sang this song to the Lord. I was saying to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. He has hurled both horse and rider in the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has given me victory. This is my God. I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him. Moses now begin to declare. The people, they begin to sing a song to the Lord because they recognize the victory they have come out of Egypt. You know, when they first got to the Red Sea, they begin to, oh, my Lord, talk to Moses and Aaron like they weren't nobody at all. You know, you can do so much for some people, and if you don't do one thing, all that you have done for them don't mean a hell of beans. Do you know that? When Moses has put his life on the line, you remember one time there was an Egyptian and an Israelite was fighting, and Moses come back and see him. He killed the Egyptian and buried him. And the same people that he was trying to defend came against him. Do you know that that happened or even right now, that you can be helping people, doing your best to help them, come the same people will come against you? Because the devil used them. He don't use people from the outside. Do you know that? The devil does not use who you assume is your enemy, but he used somebody or people that are close to you, family members, friends, associates that are close to you that you trust with every drop of blood that's in your body. He used them. He stays on your track by using your enemy. Now, for 400 years, Pharaoh had enslaved Israel. Then just when they thought they'd escape him, he showed up again at the Red Sea. And that's when God intervened, causing them to sing. See, God would do something in your life to cause you to rejoice that Jehovah has done what only Jehovah can do for you. Pharaoh's chariot and his army, he has cast into the sea. And God wants to do the same for you today and every day. Regardless to what has happened, he can bring you through. He can bring you through it and give you a new sound. Will it happen quickly or easy? No. We get through it in different ways and at different rates. How did the Israelites get through the Red Sea? One step at a time. But when they got to the other side, that body of water became the dividing line between their past and their future. But to get beyond your past, you must forgive and keep on forgiving until your past loses its hold over you. You know, Lord, the devil will use your past against you all the time. And how did he use you? Got some people in your life or had some people in your life, and all they can bring up is your past. They can't see where God is taking you or where God has brought you from, but they just bring up some negative past, things that you have done in your past. God is a cleanser of all things that are bad. The Bible says he forgives your sins and cleanses you from all unrighteousness. Glory to God. You have to continue to forgive people. You must rise up and declare by faith that the power those old issues had over you is broken. Jesus promised that when his word, he promised that when his word on the issue becomes your word on it, your circumstances will begin to change. In Mark chapter 11, let's go over to Mark chapter 11. It makes a lot of sense to trust God with everything that's within you. Hallelujah. Sometimes we only trust him when it seems like stuff is working right for us. But when the storms are raging, you have to remember the same God that showed up when the sun was shining. You got to remember. Mark chapter 11, verse 23. Let's start verse 22. And Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, verse 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Verse 25, and when you stand praying, forgive. This is the key. Forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. 26, the final. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. See, it's so key. It is so key. The circumstances that in our lives are stagnated because we are holding on to unforgiveness. Here, the enemy's on our tracks. He's on our tracks. Why he's on our tracks? Because we have something that belongs to him. Most of us carry it in our heart, in our mind, in our thoughts. We carry this spirit of unforgiveness. Someone said the smallest thing. We love the Lord so much. You know we all say how we love the Lord. But somebody said the smallest thing about us or to us, and we get bent out of shape. My pastor blessed me years ago, she and her husband. Blessed me years ago, and up to this day, almost 74 years old, I'm still carrying that inside my spirit. She said to me one day, she said, son, if you remain flexible, you'll not get bent out of shape easily. I couldn't understand it because, you know, they was much further in ministry than I was. I was just a babe. And they were giving me little nuggets to help me to go forward, to walk forward in the things of God. Hallelujah. And I use that today. A lot of times people will say things or do things to me, and I just up and go. I'll go instead of fighting because they want to fight. See, they want not naturally a physical fight, but they want a verbal fight with you. Don't fight. Get up and go. Leave. Separate yourself because you're a child of God. Here, the Bible says you have to continue in forgiving people. Even if you can't talk to them, go on your knees somewhere and talk to God. So God, I forgive Sister Mary. I forgive Brother John. Lord, I put my heart, lay my heart before you. And like David said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit. I don't want this thing weighing me down. Because, Father, I want to come into your presence and know that you're receiving everything that I say to you. And I thank you, Lord, for allowing me to release that spirit of unforgiveness out of me, and that I can forgive those that wronged me. Oh, Lord, he says, so make God's word the final word. But look out. All memories will try to negotiate another deal with to see if you are serious about moving on. Paul writes, reckon yourselves to be dead, Romans chapter 6 and 11. Reckon yourselves to be dead. Now, death alone doesn't bring closure. You need a burial. So establish a line, a place, and an epitaph that reads, the past ends right here. Tell Pharaoh, your horse and your ghost can't hurt me anymore, and move on. Remember the three Hebrew boys? They refused to worship the king's statue. So he had his incinerator heated up 7 times hotter than usual because he didn't want them to escape. He wanted to cremate them to make an example of them to the Jewish people and to their God. Jehovah Yeshua didn't show up for them, for anyone to see, until they were thrown into the furnace, even though he was already on the scene. He caused the fire to consume the guards that escorted them to the furnace. He will do the same for you if you trust and believe in him with all your heart, mind, body, and soul, that you're willing to sacrifice your life for him as the only true and living God. When Daniel was ordered not to pray to his God, he prayed even the more. He opened the windows to his home that everyone could hear him praying to his God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, his God, causing the king to sentence him to death, or so he thought, by being devoured by the mouth of several lions. Daniel wasn't afraid. He trusted his God. We're talking about when the enemy is on your track. All hell is going to come after you. It seems like you can't make it, but you have to trust God. It seems like folk is turning against you. You have to trust God. He'll send new people. It seems like the boss man is just giving you the hardest of the tasks on the job. You are doing the hardest task and making less money. God will make it easy for you. He'll even give you a raise. He may even move you from that job and move you to a place where you are elevated in your position and in your trade. Now you're trusted. Your faith will be tried and tested as long as you're submitted and committed to serving the Lord Yeshua HaMashiach. You must understand it isn't you that's a threat to the devil, but it's the light that you're carrying within you. My friend, that light will lead others out of darkness. If you let it shine, and they will glorify our Father in heaven. The enemies will stay on your track until the day you leave this world. This, we got to keep testifying and glorifying our Father, the Savior, the Lord, until we meet him in glory. If you don't know him, you would like to get to know him. You must get to know him for yourself. This is the key to everything. We have to get to know Jesus. We got to know him as our Savior. We got to know him as our Lord. And we got to know him as our soon coming King. Because Satan is not giving up on taking us out. He is busy distracting, delaying, dividing, and destroying. And if possible, killing. This is what it's all about. They said that they want to make sure they are sending people into the church building now. Okay? They're going because they're coming against Christianity so heavy right now. I heard this years ago, but now it's really come to fruition. They are sending people into the agents into the church building to see how radical you are against their agenda. They're coming to see how radical you are against their agenda. The agenda, the satanic agenda that they're pushing on us. Same-sex marriage, the abortion, all that is satanic agenda. Kill the babies before they can even talk. We're going to use the babies and use their navel, the navel cord and all this stuff and the juice from the navel for making all these lotions for the face and stuff. And we're going to use the blood for sacrifices. All that satanic agenda. I read last night, I don't know if you all state that this fellow, Geno Jennings, that some guy went in the church and put a gun on him. I don't know if you've seen that. Well, this is all the stuff going to happen. But you cannot give up and stop preaching fire and brimstone. You cannot stop preaching the truth because you know the enemy's on your track. This is when you got to preach the truth even the most. Here in the book of Exodus chapter 15, Pharaoh's chariot and army, he has hurtled into the sea. The finest of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the Red Sea. It doesn't matter who they are. Let's look in the King James Version, verses 5. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom of the stone. The right hand, O Lord, thy right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. See, you've got to understand that God is protecting us. He's covering us. He's shielding us. He is our buckler. He is our strong power. We can go into him and find safety. This is what the Bible says. Hallelujah. The Bible says, if we call upon him, he will answer us. He will show us great and mighty things that we have no knowledge of. The Bible says, if you can think it, if you can even think it or speak it, God will do it for you. How much are we trusting in God and depending on God and relying on God to bring us through? We go into everybody except God. He says, in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sentest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. Do you know that when the enemy is coming against you, we say coming against us, but he's really coming against the God that's in us, 1 John 4:4. He's coming because the God that's in us is greater than all that he can bring against us. So he has to attack the power that's been within us that's causing us to stand. He comes against everything that we can do to distract us, delay us, and if possible, destroy us. So when the enemy is coming against your relationship, coming against your marriage, you ought to fall down on your knees and say, God, I just thank you for being my protector, for shielding and protecting and covering my marriage, covering my son, covering my daughters, covering my everything that concerns me. For you said in your word, you will perfect that which concerns me. You got to pray. Don't let the circumstances that the enemy is bringing against us, because he's on our tracks and using our friends and our associates, our family, to attack us. We got to pray. We got to pray against all the circumstances because the prayer is our solution. Oh, my God, I hear you, Holy Spirit. The prayer is our solution. When we open our mouth, it's our weapon. It's a weapon. He said the weapon of your warfare are not carnal, but mighty true God to the pulling down of strongholds. How are you going to pull down? You have to open your mouth in prayer. You have to use God's word. God's word is your weapon. Hallelujah. not the 9mm, not the Uzi, not the machine gun, not the machete, not the dagger. God's word is our weapon. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Bible says, verse 8 says, and with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood up right as an heap. And the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. God caused them waters to stand up like a wall. He blew on the waters. This is how powerful, how awesome our God is. Is there anything too hard for our God? If God can make water stand up and he can cause the wind to stop, he can cause the water, the oceans to become smooth. You think the little problem that you're dealing with today is too hard for God? But we don't want to call on him. We read all of this stuff, all of this historic stuff that is there for our foundational learning and teaching, and we don't activate them. So it sounds good, sounds good. Oh, it sounds good. But I don't know if it'll work for me. Man, that was 2,000 years ago. I don't really believe he will heal me. That's what the pastor says. I don't believe God is healing. No, that was just 2,000 years ago. And push their chest up. When God said, if you call upon me, I will answer. He told us that. We're not calling upon him. See what we let the devil come and put it on my mind. That was 2,000 years ago. It's not going to work today. He's not going to heal your cancer. He's not going to heal your emphysema. Oh, that outrageous pain you have. No, God's not going to do that. That's for 2,000 years ago. Because the people back then were more holy than now. You know, they're trusting in Jehovah. Well, who do we trust in now? We trust in the same Jehovah. The same Jehovah God. El Shaddai. Jehovah Shabbat. Jehovah Rapha. Hallelujah. Jehovah Elion. We're trusting on the same God. And then when you trust in him, smile. Don't go out with a long face. I'm looking at somebody in the church the other day. And I said, well, if you're going to have your face like that, nobody want to come. You don't have the joy of the Lord. You don't have no joy. You look sad like you bit a bitter lemon. Man, you ought to have some joy coming off your countenance that, my God, I serve an awesome, mighty God, a God who loves me, a God who takes care of everything that concerns me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Here he says, the enemy said, I will pursue. Hallelujah. I will overtake. I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy the people and the enemy on your track. The enemy think he has you. He think he's going to overtake you and that he's going to overthrow you. He's able to destroy you. But you got to understand that they that are with you are more than they that are against you. Hallelujah. You have a heavenly host that is encamped around your place, around your dwelling place. God has given them charge over you according to Psalm 91. And we got to operate in that realm because what God says cannot fail. That's the only thing that he can't do is fail. And if we trust and believe in what God has said, it doesn't matter who's coming up behind me. It doesn't matter who's crawling up behind me. They shall not stand. It shall not stand. It shall not prosper. They're gonna come up with all types of weapons to destroy us, but they're not going to prosper. Hallelujah. They're going to come up with all types of judgment. We're going to speak against them. Speak against the judgment of the devil. Doesn't matter what Satan form against you or us or me. Let me tell you something. It will not prosper. We are standing underneath the blood of Jesus Christ. We are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus is saturated us. It's all over us from the crown of our head over all the way down to our feet. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hear what it says. He says, thou didst blow with thy wind. The sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Listen, God is causing stuff that was coming against you. Stuff that you didn't even know about is sinking right now. Hallelujah. The enemy has plans, set some traps to catch you. Oh, my God. And the enemy is falling in the same hole that he dug to cover you in. Hallelujah. He is being covered up by the power and the blood of Jesus Christ. He's covered up. Covered up. Because God is your protector. God is your shield. He is your buckler. He is your strong tower. He is your mighty battle axe. You got to know this. You got to know this. If you don't know this, you'll stay in a pity party. You'll stay in a complaining mode. You can't get out of that mode and get into your happy, in the happy place that God wants us to be. Nehemiah said they're coming against Tobias and Sambala, coming against his associates. They're coming against him. And what happened? Nehemiah said, should I come to off this wall to have conversation with you? No, I'm going to continue to do the work of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. It doesn't matter what you're bringing against me. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I got to tap into the joy. This is my strength. This is my power. This is what keeps me going. When I tap into him, I receive power. I start operating in his power, not mine, in his power. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. He caused them to sink to the bottom like lead. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Listen, listen, listen. Doing wonders. Thou steadfast out thy, thou stretches out thy right hand, excuse me, and the earth swallowed them up. You know, sometimes we are going through some problems, and we say, well, I don't know how this is going to work, how I'm going to get out of this. And we start to pray, and we start to give God glory. And once we start to pray, we forget all about what we've been dealing with, the situation. But we see that the problem, the circumstance that we've been dealing with, solved. It stopped. No longer it's a problem because you had the solution. The solution with Jesus Christ was opening your mouth and having a conversation with your daddy. And your daddy stepped right up and said, daughter, son, I was here waiting for the moment that you would call on to me for help. See, God is not going to come ahead of your choice. He's not going to come ahead of your will. You're going to have to will him to do what you ask him or want him or need him to do. The problem is we're too stubborn. We are stiff-necked like these Israelites. God can do so much for us over the years, and then one day, we don't believe that he can do stuff, and we don't trust him. We want to go back into slavery. We want to go back and doing the things that held us in bondage for so long. Listen to the word of God. I don't know if I'm able to do this whole thing because I like to preach the whole word. I like to teach the whole word by the Spirit of God. I would take my granddaughter to her job, putting this in, putting as much as we can get in, then we'll get over here to take her because I can't preach on the highway as I'm driving. I'll be distracted. Might kill somebody, kill myself. I don't want to do that. Verse 13 says, thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. Are you redeemed today? Do you know for sure that you are redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ? Well, if you know that you know, like my pastor said, if you know that you know that you know that you know that you are redeemed, hallelujah, you already have the victory. Stand up and take your rightful position in the kingdom of God as an ambassador, not by what you have, but who you have. You have Jesus. Jesus is Lord of your life. He is your commander in chief, not Biden. Not Obama, not Donald Trump, not George Bush. Jesus is your commander. It's our commander in chief. So let's stand up and follow his leading. With your unfailing love, you lead the people you have redeemed in your might. You guide them to your sacred home. This is what God does. That's all the NLT. Verse 14 says, the people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestine. Hallelujah. the sorrow, fear going to overtake your enemy. Do you hear that? The people hear and tremble. Anguish grips them, those who live in Philistia. The leaders of Edom are terrified. The nobles of Moab tremble. All who live in Canaan melt away. See, when you're standing for truth, you got to stand flat-footed, not on the tippity toe. You have to stand flat-footed, knowing that you know, that you know, that you know, that you know, that God is able. God will. He said he will. I believe it, that says it. Hallelujah. God said it. I believe it, that says it. You don't have to go any place else. You don't have to look any place else. God said it. If you don't, be going to word. It's in the word. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he'll direct your path. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. He will direct your path. Hallelujah. But you have to trust him. That's the key. Terror and dread fall upon them. The power of your arm makes them lifeless as stone. Until your people pass by, O Lord. Until the people you purchase pass by. God's terror, his wrath, and dread fall upon them. All these folks saying today that he's not real. These folks have PhDs, they got BAs, they got master degrees, doctorate degrees, all types of stuff. They're scientists. They have millions, billions of dollars, and they're saying that Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, God himself, that he's not real. This is what the devil has them doing, has them saying he's not real. Do you hear me? Listen to the word of God, what the word of God says. He says, terror and dread fall upon them. The power of your arm, talking about God's arm, makes them lifeless as stone until your people pass by. Oh Lord, until the people you purchase pass by. You are purchased. We are purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, with the blood of Jesus Christ. The enemy does not have a hand on us. He's bringing thoughts in our minds. He's putting thoughts in our minds. He's messing with our money. He's messing with our finances. He's messing with our food. He's messing with everything, our homes, our vehicles. But he can't touch us. He figure every test, those things that concern us, these worldly things, these materialistic things, that he could distract us and even delay us. But God said, don't trust in those things. Hallelujah. Some people trust in horses and chariots, but we got to trust in the Lord. We got to trust in him with everything that's in him. He says, you will bring them in and plant them on your own mountain. The place, O Lord, reserved for your own dwelling, the sanctuary, O Lord, that your hand have established. God wants to put us, not wants to, he's going to put his people, those that believe in him, that trust in him, that rely on him, he's going to put them into a special place. In a special place, a place that he's already prepared for them. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. So there's a contingency for us to be with Jesus. We have to do our part. Our part is that we have to live holy. Be holy for he is holy. This is the part we got to play. God has already made a place for us so that we can be established as his children. Hallelujah. As his sons and daughters. The Lord, verse 18 says, the Lord will reign up forever and ever. When Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and charioteers rushed into the sea, the Lord brought the waters crashing down on them. But the people of Israel had walked through the middle of the sea on dry ground. You see, the enemy's on your track, but the enemy doesn't know that the same deception that he has used on us for years is going to be used on him. The same deceptive mode that he has put before us over years that had us in bondage, now God going to use it on him. He thinks he can come through on dry land. Because he sees the dry land before him as we are walking through on the dry land. And he thinks he can come behind us. He's on our track. He wants to kill us. He wants to destroy us. And God is going to allow him to come on in on the dry land. Coming in on dry land because he thinks he can come and take us out, God's people. Whatever situation you are going through right now is dry land. And Satan thinks he can come behind you and take you out. But as soon as he gets between there, behind, and you cross over where God wants you to be, where God is taking you in the spirit. Thank you. And in the natural, Satan will come behind you to try to take you, and he will fall. He will fall right there. That's why you can't lose your train of thought. You can't lose your focus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God's going to bring you through on dry land. And then Miriam, the prophet, Aaron's sister, took a tambourine and led all the women as they played their tambourines and danced. See, you got to get to a place where you got to dance. Even when you see trouble was before you and trouble is behind you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because the Red Sea before you and Pharaoh behind you. But guess what? God's going to open the Red Sea. When you start to sing, when you start to sing. Hallelujah. See, before they hit there, they started singing. But now they're crossing over. They're playing music and singing to God. Hallelujah. You got to sing. You got to praise him in the midst of whatever it looked like. Hallelujah. Because what it looked like doesn't determine the outcome. It looked destructive by God, but the outcome is going to be awesome. I always say that the outcome is greater than the income. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He says, then Miriam the prophet, this is in the New Living Translation, then Miriam the prophet, Aaron's sister, took a tambourine and led the women as they played their tambourines and danced. And Miriam sang this song, sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. He has hurled both horse and rider into the sea. I want to tell you that God has a way of doing what he said he's going to do for us. Hallelujah. Excuse me. We just got to believe. We just got to trust in him. I read you a short sermon that I wrote yesterday before on the computer. Because we, like I said, we were done. I still got to add some more to this. That's why I had to go into teaching straight from the word. And I said, Lord, give me some more. But after my mind started going a lot of different places, I had to stop writing on the computer. But we have to trust God. This is what I'm seeing here in this text, this sermon. The enemy is on our tracks. Now, when you got the enemy on your tracks, you don't have no machine gun. You don't have no 9mm. You don't have no hatchets. You don't have no sword. You don't have no dagger. All you got is your 2 feet. You got some little donkeys and stuff that you're coming out of Egypt with. You know, they didn't have the big horses like Pharaoh had. They had some little donkeys and some camels that they were coming up with. Hallelujah. Just some food and some seeds and stuff to plant to make the gardens to raise food. That's all they had. So they had to trust God for that. Even some of them want to go back. They want to go back because they started saying, more than you brought us out here for us to die. And when they saw the horses, there was big old horses and all the charioteers and so on, you can imagine the fear that come off of them. You can imagine the fear that came over them. Hallelujah. You can't know what the enemy is showing you to cause you to become fearful and doubt God. Do you hear me today? You can't know what the enemy is bringing at you to cause you to become fearful and doubt God. Don't let him do it, because this is what he wants to do. He wants you to be fearful and doubt God. You know, fear will bring doubt. Fear will bring a massive doubt upon your life when you begin to fear. Because circumstances doesn't meet what you want. You say, well, how am I going to pay my mortgage this month? I ain't had enough hours this week. How am I going to pay my car note? I never was able to pay off a car. Never was able to pay off a car. You understand? Never was able to pay off a car when I was in the world. I retired from work, okay? And I retired early. And God, he have the two cars while I wasn't working. Don't tell me he's not able. You got to trust him with everything that's within you. Everything that's within you, you have to trust God. Don't care what the enemy thinks. You got to trust God. Doesn't matter what it looks like, you got to trust God. Do you hear me? We have to trust God. It doesn't matter what it looks like. And it looks like we're not going to make it. It sounds like we can't make it. Everything says that we're not going to make it, that we're going to be destroyed in a flash. Everything says that. But what did God say? What did God say? He said, I'll be with you even unto the end. I'll be with you even unto the end. It doesn't matter how the wind. I hear Pastor Washington said one time, when she was here on Block Talk, where she said that a tornado was coming into Louisiana, and it was coming down the street that they were on. I think it was, she was living in Louisiana at that time. And she said that she and Jen began to pray, because the tornado looked like it was going to come and wipe them completely out, wipe their house out. And they began to pray, believing that God was able to do that. And the tornado took a shift and went another way, took another route from their home. How much can you trust God to shift, make a shift in your life, in your livelihood, for the things that you need God to do? Not going to have a colonoscopy in the morning. And you know, people said, my daughter had one. She called me a couple of months ago. She said, Daddy, I have to get a colonoscopy, and I'm so afraid, Daddy. I'm so afraid. I don't like to go under. I told her, I said, you know, you have to trust God. You have to trust him in what God is saying, what God is doing. God has the final say. Doesn't matter what the enemy is saying. God has the final say. And when you understand that God has the final say, you begin to trust him, you'll see things will work out for you. I pray for her. I said, look, girl, just trust the Lord. Just trust the Lord. What the God says, just trust him. God said he's going to work out things for you. Trust him. Yeah, and then she called me again. Daddy, I got to have this. I have to go and have this thing done. Something to her eyes, some kind of surgery she's having for her eyes. She is so scared, that girl was trembling. I could hear her trembling on the phone. I told her, I said, don't worry about that. You got to trust God. He is the surgeon. You know, and then if you know that you know God already, if you die, I said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I said, so don't worry about that. Don't go in there in fear. God has got the surgeon here. She came up. Oh, Daddy, everything went. I didn't even feel anything. Oh, Daddy, colonoscopy was, everything was good. Well, he didn't feel nothing. He didn't even know when they were finished, you know. But see, the enemy would, yeah, he on your track. He puts fear inside you. When he is on our track, he puts fear. Even a great preacher preach. When the enemy will put fear on the preacher. Fear. I know when I first started, and I had to do my first sermon, and I went up there, man, I was shaking like a leaf. Man, my pastor could see that I was shaking, and she and her husband said, "This is son, just give it to God, give it to God, let God do the work, turn it over to God." I was shaking. I mean, I was physically, you could see my hands shaking. They were shaking. Shaking up there. And once I prayed, Lord, it's not me but you. I can't do this thing but you, Lord. All of a sudden, the fear went out the window, and I was preaching about the empty tomb. And the Holy Spirit took over. Hallelujah. I started sweating like buckets of sweat, because I get hot. I don't know if it's because that my arteries are not fully open, but I sweat like crazy. Went and did the mess, and everybody was telling me how good it was. And I said, "Well, it's the Holy Ghost," because I was afraid. Now I still get a little jittery sometimes when I go on the altar, but as soon as I get there and I open that book, and the Holy Spirit take over, the fear goes, because we recognize that fear don't come from God. It comes from the enemy. He said, I have not given you the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Power, love, and a sound mind. This is what he says. Power, love, and a sound mind. He said, I give this to you. Not fear. So when fear is coming to us, we got to say, Lord, I just thank you, because I know this didn't come from you. So I cast it back to the pit of hell where it came from. Anytime fear comes, you say, Lord, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for allowing me to see that this fear, but it's still, I know it didn't come from you, so I cast it back to the pit of hell. You got to stand up, flat foot, and say, look, now, I'm not claiming this fear. This is not mine. It doesn't belong to me. It's at the wrong house. You got the wrong address. You know, you got to get bold. Fear, you don't belong here. Go away. Go back to where you come from. You got to talk to it. Go back to where you come from. And then you begin to see stuff happening, because now you're stepping out and you're stepping up to the power of God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this word that you have given us. And, O God, your word is powerful. Your word is mighty. Your word is strong. O God, your word brings change to the hearer. It brings change to the hearer. And we ask today, God, as we send forth this word, your word, and it's gone, it's leaving now, and it's going out in the atmosphere. O Father, we ask that you let whoever hear this word, God, when they hear it, take away the fear. Let them surrender the fear that has been holding them captive. Let them surrender that fear to you, Lord. Let them cast that fear right back by the power and the blood of Jesus back into the pit of hell. Oh, Father, and we will give you continue to give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' holy name we pray. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. We thank you for the strength that you have given us even right now. In the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, yes, yes, yes. If you are listening today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and if you even hear this word another time, so whatever time you happen, you're listening, is the time that you need to give your life to Jesus if you don't know him. Because we are close. Some preachers are saying on Facebook, you know, they say a lot of stuff. They go in there and say a lot of stuff that don't line up with the Bible. But the preacher is saying now that the coming of the Lord is just a few days away. You know, people are saying all kinds of stuff. I don't know if they're trying to scare people. I think all you need to tell people that they need to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, surrender to Jesus, to the Spirit of God, because nobody knows what time he's coming. But he's coming soon, according to the word. So, but the preacher saying he's coming in a couple of days, you know. Nobody don't know what day he's coming. If you know what day was coming, you would give your life to him, and you would start living right. But nobody knew, you know. That's why a lot of people are going to get caught on them, you know. They're going to get caught on them not knowing the Savior. But if you don't know him today as your Lord and Savior, take this opportunity. Hallelujah. Take this opportunity to give your life to him. Hallelujah. Don't wait till tomorrow. Okay, I'm telling you the truth. Tomorrow is not promised to anyone. It's not promised to anyone. No one don't know if they're going to live to see tomorrow. Not you, not me. Even though I have a colonoscopy tomorrow, and I got all this liquid that I got to drink tonight, that's starting this evening, that's going to keep me running back and forth to the latrine, I don't know if I'm going to make it tomorrow. But God knows. So I got to trust him that he would take me from today into tomorrow. I got to trust him for that much. Hallelujah. I got to trust him for everything, not just for life or tomorrow. I have to trust him for everything that I need. Hallelujah. Because everything that I need, he have control. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You will find that scripture in Romans chapter 3 and 23. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That means you and I. If you got a favorite preacher that you listen to on YouTube, let me tell you something. He too have sinned, and some of them still sin. I see now that some of the preachers now is fighting on YouTube because some of the preachers are going far left away from Jesus. Some of the preachers, because they're going up. And the devil got a way of roping folk in. You know, he got a way of roping them in, showing them the things of the world like he did for Jesus. You know, he did that to Jesus. You know, he's going to do it to us. If you bow down and worship him, he'll give you the Mercedes Benz, he'll give you the Cadillac, he'll give you the Lexus, he'll give you the Bentley, he'll give you the Rolls Royce, all this stuff. And I'll give you the jet. You know, you want a jet like Kenneth Copeland? I'll give you a jet. Just worship me. You want a jet like Bishop Jakes? I'll give you a jet. You want a big 13-bedroom mansion like Bishop Jakes? I'll give you that. Just bow down and worship me. Do what I tell you. Don't say the things that you want to say. Don't call that name that you want to call all the time. Don't call that name, you know. And I would give you all that you need. And guess what they do? They don't even preach that stuff anymore. They don't preach the truth anymore. They're preaching a half-truth. But if you don't know Jesus, my friend, I want to give you an opportunity to receive him. It's very simple. Just take the moment, this moment that you have, because the next moment, as you always hear us say, is not promised to you or to any one of us. Yes, the Lord Jesus, according to Acts 2:38, I repent for my sins and for all of my transgressions. The Bible says, if you repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You're going to receive not just the Holy Ghost, but you're going to receive the gift of salvation. You understand? The gift of salvation, which means you'll have the right to the tree of life. Hallelujah. But you got to repent. Accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, all that he has done at Calvary. Accept it. And you would receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I'm just doing it straight from first, as it's flowing to me right now. Just give your life to Christ Jesus, right where you are. Ask Jesus to come in your life. Ask him to take control over your heart. Tell him that you no longer want to have control. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Romans 16:23. If you continue to sin, you will die spiritually. Do you hear what I'm saying today? If you continue to sin. All of us have the sin nature. None of us is to the place we want to be in him yet. So we have to keep working on this thing. This is a job that you've got to continue doing. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. Have everlasting life. Glory to God. You have to continue doing what you're called to do. To live holy. The Lord Jesus, I believe, according to Romans chapter 10, verse 9, 10, and 11, says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you should be saved. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believe on him, or in him, should not be ashamed. So you got to believe that Jesus is the one. He's the true and living Savior. When you believe that, you don't have to be ashamed. People are going to still come and talk to you. The people they're going to shout at you. They're going to call you names. I've seen it on TV all the time now. They are making fun of the preacher. You understand? But you got to know who you are and whose you are. And if they make fun of him, they're going to make fun of you. You understand? But you have to stand firm. Glory to God. The Lord Jesus, I denounce Satan and all of his agents and this world system, all that it stands for. I come to you just as I am. Lord, I'm not doing any works that I'm boasting and saying that I've done this. I'm coming in your name, Jesus, believing all that you have done on the cross for me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So I'm not coming in because I've done this or did that, because no one is good. And no good thing dwell in my flesh. I'm coming in because I know that you gave your life to give me access to the tree of life. Hallelujah. To the fountain of life. I'm coming to you, Jesus. I believe that you died on the cross so that I might have life. So I'm denouncing Satan and all of his agents, the world system, all that it stands for. And Lord Jesus, I believe that you will save me, and that you will cleanse me, and that you will put me in right standing before the Father. I believe you died for me, you were buried, and that you rose again on the third day. This is in my heart, and I'm confessing it with my mouth right now. Save me, Jesus, according to Jeremiah, and I'll be saved. Heal me, and I'll be healed. And if you just said that very small, uncommon prayer, you have just received the gift of salvation. And like we said, that the devil or the enemy is on our tracks, he's going to be on your track even the more. Because Satan, he wouldn't trouble you too much when he had you working for him. But now that you have given your life to Christ Jesus and accepted him as your Savior, the enemy is going to get on your track. He's going to be hard on you because now you have quit his job. And now you're taking on a new boss, which is the Savior. He's really not a boss, but we're using this term now. He's your Savior. He's your friend. He's your Lord. He's your brother. Hallelujah. You want to start living the life that pleases God. Get a Bible and study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Book of Acts, so you get a gospel understanding of this Jesus, this Savior, this Lord, this soon coming King that we preach and teach about every day on Blog Talk Radio when we get a chance. We haven't been on for a couple of days, so and we really miss Blog Talk. We missed it a lot because it's our strength. It's where we pull from. Now, call up a pastor, preacher, teacher, someone that know how to baptize, and tell them that you received the gift of salvation and that you're studying the Bible, but according to Acts 2:38, you need to be baptized in Jesus' name. Mark 16:15, 16, 17, and 18 said you need to be baptized. It's part of your salvation. Some people might still argue with you because, you know, people are always trying looking to argue, something to argue about. They might say, well, what the thief? You don't have to baptize. Well, you got to be baptized. Some folk would tell you that. You will hear some folks saying that. They're not saved, they're not sanctified, they're not baptized. But they'll tell you, why you got to be baptized? You don't need to be baptized. The thief on the cross wouldn't baptize that man. They would say the man on the cross didn't baptize with Jesus. Yes, he was saved. Well, he was in a different dispensation. This dispensation that we're in requires baptism to complete salvation. Hallelujah. But really and truly, your salvation will be completed when you meet Jesus, when you meet him in person. That's when your salvation truly will be complete. Hallelujah. So, my friend, before you get baptized, call up your friends, your family, your co-workers, even your enemies, neighbors, anybody that you would like to be there at this greatest occasion of your life. And tell them, look, I received salvation, and and I'm getting baptized. I've given my life to Christ. Tell them that. I'm giving my life to Christ, and I'm going to get baptized, but I would like you all to come to the baptism. You know, sometimes people come to baptism, they're not saved or sanctified or anything, and all of a sudden they get touched by the Spirit of God and they want to be baptized. So a true coming to your baptismal celebration, that they might accept Christ, they might give their life to Christ. So invite people. Hallelujah, glory to God. And see how God works. God bless you all. I thank you. The line is now open for anyone that want to come. But for those that got baptized, find a church that's preaching and teaching the gospel, okay? And get yourself involved in ministry. Get yourself involved in ministry. Don't go and just sit down and watch and listen to the pastor and can't wait for the next Sunday to hear another message. No, participate in whatever's going on. Participate. Say, God, I want to be part of your ministry. And God will make it possible for you to become a worker in the kingdom. Okay? God bless you all. Have a blessed day. We love you, even as Christ loves you. The line is open. Anyone wants to come on in, you can come on in. Okay, Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. Thank you for the word that you've given us. What a blessed word, knowing that the enemy is on our track, but knowing that you have us covered is just a relief, O God, to know that you never leave us or forsake us. We thank you, Father. Now, as we leave this land, but never your presence, Lord, we ask you to bless those that came on, bless the apostle, bless the deacon, bless the minister Jones, and bless his wife that was on with us too, going back to work. We ask, O God, that you, O God, bless the earwaves and bless all those that would hear this word, God. And we pray that this word would germinate in their hearts, O God, and bring up and cause them to, O God, bring harvest much fruit, O God. We pray, Father, as we leave this land, but never your presence, that you bless us in the city, bless us in the field. Bless us when we come, O God, and bless us when we go. God, continue to make us the head and not the tail. Set us above and not beneath. Lord, make us the lenders and not the borrowers. And Father, we are praying even right now. You bless the ministries that are represented here right now today. And bless all ministries over the world, O God. Open the eyes of the preachers, O God, or the lay people, O God, that they begin to teach and preach the truth, O God, and live the truth, O God, that many will see, hear, believe, O God, and be saved. Now, Father, maybe the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, continue to rest and abide upon us. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives. And we will dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Remember to tell someone that God loved them, you love them, and Jesus is the only way. Maybe the word that you speak today in somebody's ear gate that will make all the difference in their lives, being stop someone from committing suicide, kidnapping a child, raping a child, sodomizing a child, or even breaking into someone's home and committing some heinous crime. Jesus said in his word, Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven. That just means that all the characteristics of Jesus Christ, all the attributes should be seen in our lives. When they see us, they see the love of Christ, the mercy of Christ, the grace of Christ, the long-suffering of Christ, the patience of Christ, O God. They should see all this stuff in us, O God. They should see, O God, the kindness and the lovingness of Christ in us. So we thank God for you. We thank God for you. I just want you all to know that I love you all so much, but God loves you even more. Have a blessed day, safe day. I got to go now, and I will talk to you all tomorrow. When I get in from my colonoscopy, God bless you all. Pray my strength in the Lord and my keeping grace of the Lord upon my life. God bless you all. I pray the same for you all. God bless you.